Hello and welcome to Southern Gospel Conversations. Take a few minutes to settle in and enjoy today's podcast. Here's your host, Southern Gospel fan, record collector, and radio contributor, Nicholas Wilkie.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Nicholas Wilkie, and today we have a great singer, but I believe an even better man that I'm looking forward to chatting with on the show. His name is Jeff Pearls. Jeff, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Nicholas?
Man, I'm good. I'm glad to have you on. Looking forward to it.
Well, man, I appreciate you asking me. It's probably been a little over 20 years since I was in the Southern Gospel arena, so I appreciate you remembering me and inviting me beyond your podcast. You know how to make an old fellow feel good, so thank you.
Yes, sir, brother. Once again, I'm glad to have you on. But you do still sing, though. You sing with a group called the King's Heralds, right?
That's right. Been there.
You're still singing.
21 years. Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Very good. Well, brother, to get started, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell me who you are, maybe about your family and where you live and all that stuff.
Well, like you said, my name is Jeff Pearls. I'm originally from the West Coast, state of Oregon. And I left Oregon in 1985, moved to Nashville. I wanted to get involved in gospel music, but my family was a musical family. We sang gospel music all up and down the West Coast. And my mom had a love for the Word of God, and my dad loved music. And so I grew up listening to a lot of what we call classic country music today, Jim Reeves, Eddie Arnold, Merle Haggard.
Oh, yes.
I knew who Waylon and Willie were before I knew who the Statesman and Blackwood Brothers were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But when I was 14 years old, there was a disc jockey out in Oregon, in Portland. He had a show called The Gospel Sing, and he would play the Singing News Top 40 from 8 to 10 every Saturday night, and I would listen to that. And that's really how I got introduced to Southern gospel music, fell in love with it. And it wasn't long after I began listening to him that he was doing a concert, and he was bringing out the Cathedrals. And at that time, the Rex Neyland Singers. And so I was about, like I said, 14 years old, wasn't driving yet. And I asked my mom and dad, I said, if I get a job and earn enough money to buy the tickets to this concert, will you take me? And they agreed. And so I went to that concert, and I heard George Johnson, Rex Neyland, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do. I mean, you know, that was, so I set my sights on that. I was 14, and when I was 18, I graduated high school, left Oregon the day after I graduated high school to come to Nashville and get involved in gospel music. Today, I live in a town called Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is just a little bit north of Nashville. And my wife, Linda, we've been married for 18 years. Have a son, Nathan, and daughter-in-law, Mandy. Two grandsons. One of them is 18. He'll be graduating high school very, very soon. And his little brother's 14. So I'm very blessed.
Yes, sir, brother. No doubt about it. And don't you, aren't you a realtor as well?
Yes, after COVID, well, actually, I got my real estate license in 2016, but I had been buying and selling real estate on my own, investing and flipping houses and that kind of thing since about 2000. And so I was having a hard time finding a real estate agent that was excited about selling cheap houses, you know, because that's what I would buy and fix up. And so I told my wife after we were married a few years, I said, I'm going to get my real estate license so we can do our own deals. And so that's what I did. And then after COVID, you know, I wound up in the hospital and nearly died. And after that, the King's Heralds, the group I'm with now, we decided that we didn't want to be on the road 200 days a year because we're all getting a little bit older and just didn't want to be gone from home that much. So that gave me a little bit of time to kind of focus on building the real estate business. What happened to me during that period of time, and if you want to get into it, we can, but during that period of time, it made me realize that my health was tied to, or my voice was tied to my health. And if I lost my voice or my health, we would lose our livelihood. And so I thought, well, we need to have another income stream. And so I didn't want to totally give up singing, because I love that. And I believe it's a great way to spread the gospel and to win people to Jesus Christ. But I just didn't want to have to be out there 200 days a year like we had been. And so
Right.
real estate's provided another platform for ministry, really. I mean, I get to minister to people within the context of a real estate deal now, and as well as on the gospel music stage. So, I'm doubly blessed.
That's awesome, man. No doubt about it. Love it. Now, you told us how you became a fan of gospel music, but why don't you share your history in gospel music? Tell me all the groups you've been with and all that stuff.
I started off, my first professional group was in 1987 with the Fox Brothers, and I was there for 5 years. And during that time, we sang for a lot of fairs and festivals around the country. And so I decided maybe I wanted to slow down a little bit back then. I wasn't but 25 years old when I came off the road with them. But I thought I may want to go into the business side of gospel music. And so I got a job with Homeland Records and wound up through a series of events as their radio promoter there. So I was promoting groups like the Cathedrals and the Florida Boys. And I think back then we had the Pipers and can't remember who all. We had a full roster. We had Kevin Spencer Family, the Hoppers, the Bishops, a lot of those wonderful groups that we all know and love. And so I was there for about 5 years. And then Palmetto State was looking for a bass singer. So they called me and wanted to know if I wanted to audition. So I did. And I was blessed enough to be able to be on the road with them for about 5 years. And then from Time Gospel Hour Quartet for 3.5 years. And then to the King's Heralds, been there for 21 years. So
Well, there you
that's
go.
the, yeah, that's the history. I was beginning to think I couldn't keep a job there for a while.
Yeah. Well, you've been blessed, brother. No doubt about it. You've
Yeah.
been blessed.
Yeah, no question.
Very good. Well, you've been on the road for many years, so I know in that amount of time, there's been a lot of funny stuff that has happened on the road. Why don't you tell me a funny road story that you can think of?
Well, I won't tell you who it involved, but it involved another member of group I was with. And so this gentleman, he had lost some weight, but he hadn't put another notch in his belt, And so after a concert, he was out in the lobby of the church. I was at the product table, and I saw him come out. He was the last one out of the sanctuary there at the church, and he had a crowd of people around him wanting to talk with him and that kind of thing. So he came out, and I heard him go, "Oh no." And I looked around, and Nicholas, I swear to you, he was standing in the lobby of the church. His breeches had fallen down around his ankles
Oh,
because he
no.
and there was a bunch of people around him. So my first instinct was I just kind of ran over there to him, try to make a human shield so nobody see. And he just reached down in one fell swoop, pulled his britches back up, and he said, "I need to find a chair. I need to go sit down." I said, "I think you do."
But
There's all kinds of stuff. We were in a service one time, and it was a very traditional church. They had the piano, they had the organ, they sang out the hymnal. They didn't have a praise team, and so they were doing congregational singing. And the song leader said, "Turn in your hymnals to him so and so," and they started to sing. And there's a lady sitting over on the right hand side of the sanctuary. She raised her hand. She said, "If you don't mind, could you raise the key? This is not the good key for me." So the piano player raised it a half, and away they went. But I'd never seen that happen before in a
Yeah,
church.
I don't believe that had anything to do with her.
I don't know.
I don't see how it really mattered what key it was in as far as she goes.
I know, but apparently it mattered to her. She stopped the whole thing, asked him to raise the key for her. So, yeah, that's pretty
Well, there
funny.
you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know there's been a lot of funny stuff that has happened on the road, but also I know there's been a lot of maybe touching times where maybe the Lord used you to minister to somebody at the product table or the altar, just somebody struggling or whatever the case may be, and they got help that night or whatever the case may be. Do you have a story like that you can share?
Well, a lot of times you come in contact with people and you never know the impact that you'll have on somebody's life. But one story that stands out over the years was when I was with Palmetto State. We sang at a fair up in Indiana, and there was probably close to 1,500 people in this tent, and we had to sing like 3 or 4 45-minute stands. And so our last stand of the night, it was hot. It was in the middle of summer. We were worn out. We were just wringing wet, you know. And standing around the product table, and there was a lot of people coming to buy product, and there was a lot going on that night. But I felt somebody reach out and just touch my sleeve, and I looked over, and there was a young lady, and she looked a little bit disheveled and like she was having a hard time. And she said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And so I told the guys, I said, "I'm just going to step away from the product table here a minute." And so she was talking to me, and she was telling me that, you know, she was in a relationship and with, you know, her kids, and this guy that she was with was, you know, he'd get drunk and he'd come home and beat them all up, and wanted to know what I thought she should do, you know. And she was trying to get away from him, and he'd every time she'd leave, he'd find her, drag her back home, and it just, you know. And so I prayed with her, and I told her, I said, "If you'll give me your contact information," I said, "I've got a friend of mine who pastors a church up here, and they can reach out to you." And so she did, and I connected them with the church, and I think the church was instrumental in kind of helping her to kind of get away from that abusive relationship, and met some needs that she had as far as, you know, clothes and food and that kind of thing. So, you know, I was happy that I could help somebody out and pray with them,
Amen.
but you know, it makes you realize just how blessed we really are. We have
Yes.
no idea what people are going through, and when they come to hear the concert, you don't know what they're dealing with, what they're struggling with at home. You know, I mean, we've had the privilege of praying for many, many people, and we may never know until we get to eternity the impact that we've had. But here's one
Yeah.
thing I do know, that God's word, whether it's preached or sung, never returns void. So.
That's great stuff. No doubt about it. You know, I really don't have many problems compared to a bunch of other people, you know?
Boy, I'm telling you.
I
Yeah.
really don't.
I know. We're very blessed, aren't we?
For sure.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You're a very unique young man in the fact that you really appreciate not only gospel music in general, but more specifically the older style of quartet singing.
Yes,
Were you
love
raised
it.
with that, or how did you discover that?
Well, discover the old stuff. I don't really know. Maybe how I discovered the old stuff was just talking to other folks that love it. Like, for example, Berman Porter. He's one that loves that old stuff, and he's one of my best friends I've ever had in gospel music.
Yeah.
And people like McRae Dove and ones like that. Just talking to them, I guess, is how I started to love the old stuff, maybe. But how I got into gospel music was whenever I saw the Kingdom Airs for the first time at
Okay.
Dollywood in, I think, the end of 2012. And so that's
Okay.
how I fell in love with the gospel music. So
So now the groups of yesteryear, so to speak, the vintage quartets, who are some of your favorites you like to listen to?
the Statesman's my favorite of all time.
Yeah. See, now, are you familiar with the Swanee River Boys?
Absolutely. They were incredible.
One of my favorites. And when I was with Old Time Gospel Hour Quartet, about two or three of those guys came to our concert.
Wow.
And I don't, you know, I've had the privilege of singing in front of a lot of my heroes over the years. But those guys, they came and they were enjoying it. But I was nervous as all get out because, I mean, they were some of my heroes, man. I mean, there has never been a group that I know of that had the blend that the Swanee River Boys had. It was just a lot easy. You know, they didn't sing hard at all, but they had a tremendous blend.
Oh yeah, and timing and rhythm and all that stuff too. Incredible.
One of my favorite songs they did was Go Up to the House of the Lord. You know, they had that
Yes.
syncopation. Buford Abernathy, come on, brother, come on, let's go. It's just so totally different for that time and what they were doing in gospel music at that time.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, man, I just love that old stuff. I love the, like I said, the Statesman. I love the Blackwood Brothers from back then. I love the Goss Brothers. I love, even before then, the Rangers Quartet and the Sunshine Boys and the Harmoniers, those kind of groups. Homeland Harmony Quartet. I just love that stuff.
Did you ever listen to much of the Jordanaires when they weren't singing back up for somebody, just listen to them sing on their own? They were phenomenal.
I have heard them. I have listened to one album of them. I have multiple albums of theirs, and I need to listen to more of them. But yeah, they are great too.
Oh yeah, they were one of my favorites as well from that era.
Yep, for sure. No doubt about it. Well, I put a post on Facebook saying that I'll be interviewing you, and I asked everyone if they had any questions for you. And I got a few of those for you.
Okay.
Do you know Terry Willits?
I do. Terry's a good friend. I've been knowing Terry, man, since I was with Old Time Gospel Hour Quartet.
Yeah.
He's always been a good friend and a great supporter of mine. I appreciate him very much.
Oh yeah, he says you're one of his favorite bass singers. So yeah.
Well, he's one of my favorite people. He
He's
loves
great.
that music, you know.
Terry Willis is good as gold, no doubt about it.
Sure is.
But he has a question. He says, after an old time gospel hour quartet concert, do you remember going to someone's house to sing for her? And that someone was Larry Hustis's mother-in-law, he
I
said.
remember that. Yeah, I do. They lived out in the country, and yes, we went out after the concert that night and sang a few special songs for her. I believe that she was bedridden at that point, and it was a privilege to be able to do that.
Yep, for sure.
Great memory.
Love it. Yep. Now here's a question that someone else on Facebook had. I was gonna ask this myself, but it's kind of cool that somebody else on Facebook asked it as well. How did you get the opportunity to be the radio announcer on the Cathedral's Radio Days project?
Well, I was working for the record company at that point. I was their radio promoter. And so we had a studio downstairs, but I think Roger Bennett produced that particular project. And Roger came in the office one day and he asked me, he said, "Hey, I just need a little radio announcer blurb. Can you record that for me?" I said, "Yeah." So Roger had a studio out in Franklin, Tennessee, and I believe that we went there. And I recorded that. So it was through my connection with them, as being their radio promoter, that Roger asked me to do that.
Very cool. Yeah, I
Yeah.
remember hearing that, or at least some of that, or if not all of it. And I think it's really cool that you got to do that for sure.
That's funny. There was a debate not long ago on one of the Facebook as to who the announcer was. And it
Yeah.
was fun to see some of the names that were thrown out there as who people thought it could be, you know?
Yep. But the answer is it was Jeff Pearls.
That was me many, many
Yep.
years ago.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the Cathedrals were one of the groups in the first concert you ever saw, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I met
So,
George Jontz and Glenn Payne when I was 14 years old. And
yep.
it blew my mind because the Cathedrals would make a West Coast trip every year. And so I would see him once a year. And then I attended my first National Quartet Convention in 1985. It was in Nashville at the Municipal Auditorium. And I'll never forget, I was walking through the exhibit area. The exhibit area at that time was downstairs, and all the booths and everything. And I heard somebody hollering at me. And they were saying, "Oregon boy, Oregon boy." And I turned around, it was George. And he couldn't remember my name. He just remembered he'd seen me in Oregon,
Yeah.
which to me blew my mind, especially now, because when you sing all over the country, you get used to seeing certain people in certain parts of the country. And then when they show up in another part of the country, it kind of throws you off a little bit because, you know, they're kind of out of their area. And I was just impressed that he remembered where I was from. But George became a dear friend of mine. And I can't tell you the number of times that after he kind of had come off of the road for health reasons, you know, he'd be at home and I would be on the road with Palmetto State or Old Time Gospel Hour Quartet, and I'd call him from the back of the bus. I'd say, "George, I got to sing here in about 30 minutes, and my placement is not where it needs to be. Can you help me get it right?" And he would work with me. And he would tell me, he said, "Okay, son." He said, you've got it." He said, "Now go out there and knock them dead." So I've always treasured my friendship with George and Glenn.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I love it. And I bet whenever you saw the Cathedrals live for the first time, I bet you had no idea that you'd become the radio announcer on the Cathedrals Radio Days project
I
many
had
years later.
no idea. I'll never forget they came out, they announced them, and they walked out there, just Roger playing the piano, Mark Trammell was playing the bass, and Kirk Talley was singing the tenor for them, and Glenn and George, and started off with "He's Still Working on Me." George sang that high
Oh,
note,
man.
three-part harmony there, and man, it was just George had the melody, and I was hooked, man. I didn't realize George had such a range that he had. And I asked him about that when I was, 14, 15 years old, told him I was a bass singer, and he gave me the best advice of anybody ever gave me. He said, "Your low notes will come with age." He said, "Work on becoming a singer that has a lower voice and not just a bass singer, because if all you have is low notes and nothing else, you can only do one thing." He said, "But
Yep.
learn how to sing." And George proved that he could step out there and sing a lead line. And I always admired that about him.
Yes, he could. And he could knock the bottom out of it too.
Oh, man, yes, sir. Yep, he sure could. Yeah,
Yep.
he was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like on that "He's Still Working on Me," he sang in his upper range for the most of the song, but on the end he dropped a low note on that one.
He sure did knock that bottom out of it. That
Yep.
blew my mind first time I ever heard him do it live.
Yeah, that's incredible. Love it. I wish I would have got to meet him. He died whenever I was about 3 years old. I believe I was three when he died.
He would have loved you. He would have absolutely loved you because he loved young people that loved gospel music, especially the male quartets, and had an appreciation for, that. Yeah, you'd have been one of his best buddies.
Well, I'm sure we would have become friends for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt in my mind you would have.
Yep. Love it. Well, here's another Facebook question. It says, "What is your favorite song you've been featured on in your career?"
I have two.
Okay.
The first one was when I was with Palmetto State. It was called "The Prayer of Yesterday," and such a great message to that song. I think a gentleman from Mississippi wrote it and sent it to our office. And I was getting the mail at the office, and they would send songs, demos on cassette tapes back then. I popped it in the player and listened to it, and I thought, man, I like that. That sounds like a song I would like to sing. And so I presented it to the other members of the group, and they liked it. So it made the project that had the song was "Something Going On at the Well." It
Yep.
was, it, yeah, it was on that one. And then the other one, when I was with Old Time Gospel Hour Quartet, I was featured on a song called "Tougher Than Nails," which was
Yep.
something that was just so totally different than anything I had done up to that point. But I found that song and asked the guys if I could do it, and they graciously consented. And so, yeah, those are my two favorites.
Very good. I love it. Well, obviously we all know you're a bass singer. So with that being said, who are a few of your bass singing influences and maybe a few of your favorite bass singers of all time?
Well, as far as influences go, the bass, my earliest recognition of remembrance of a bass singer that we would all know would probably be, Harold Reed of the Statler Brothers, Richard Sturban, the Oak Ridge
Yeah.
Boys. But if you go back a little bit beyond that, other than George, Herman Harper was always one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Herman was a gentleman in every sense of the word, but he had a voice that was just huge. And I always loved to hear him, especially his things that he did, with the Oak Ridge Boys back in the day. But then in his later years, he did some recordings with the Homeland Quartet. And
Yeah.
I was always impressed with his singing. Another bass singer that, was Gerald Williams. I mean,
Yes, sir.
what a voice.
Oh,
What a
yeah.
voice. And, Gerald is living proof that if you sing correctly and take care of yourself, you can sing, on way on up in your later years. I think Gerald's in his 90s now, still doing it. So,
Yeah, he's like 92 or something.
yeah, and I've always enjoyed Ed O'Neill. I always thought he had a nice texture to his voice. So, yeah, sure, some of the bass singers that I've admired along the way.
Some great ones for sure.
Yeah.
Can you play any instruments? And if so, which ones?
Well, when I was about 5 years old, my dad taught me a few chords on a guitar. So I can, play a little rhythm, not well, but if the song doesn't have more than three chords, I can probably get through it on a guitar. And the same with the piano,
Yeah.
nothing great, just kind of chord along, and it kind of helped me the few songs that I've written. Sitting down at the piano kind of helped me, craft a melody and that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I took a few guitar lessons several years back and everything, but I never stuck with it. So, with that being said, I know how to play nothing.
Well, you got to pick it back up.
Well, I just love to hear singing. So,
Do you sing at all?
and I mostly just sing along with the artists that I listen to. That's about it.
What's your favorite part in a quartet? If you could sing any part, which one would it be?
Oh, bass.
Bass? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm huge on bass singing.
Yeah.
Big on bass singing.
Yeah, so who were some of your bass singers that you remember growing up, that you listened to and gravitated toward?
Well, before I even got into gospel music, the one I remember, I believe, is David Hester.
Okay.
Because the Dove Brothers had come to my church even before I got into gospel music, and I love David's bass singing even before I got into gospel music, but I guess probably Jeff Chapman, after I got into gospel music, was the first one. But
Hey, what Chapman, he's phenomenal. Phenomenal. We met each other back when I was with the Fox Brothers back in the 80s, and he was with the Anchorman.
yeah.
Probably back before you were even born. And yeah, we've known each other for many, many years, and I've got a lot of respect for Jeff Chapman, his ability. Absolutely. He's a great guy and a great friend and good bass singer.
Yes, he is. No doubt about it. And my all-time favorite bass singer is George Johns.
Me too.
And my second favorite is Chief, and Tim Riley, and London Paris, and also Bob Thacker.
I really like Bob Thacker. You familiar with some of his recitations that he used to do?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. They people bass singers don't do recitations much anymore, and I don't know exactly why, but Bob Thacker was a master
Yes, he was.
at a recitation. I used to really enjoy listening to him.
Matter of fact, I don't know of any bass singer nowadays that does a recitation.
I can't think of any of it. Yeah, maybe we ought to bring that back.
Oh, yeah. That would be great. At
Yeah.
least for the most part, I don't know of any, at least. But yeah.
Yeah, I've not heard of them if they are. I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah. Mark McCauley with New South may do one here and there, maybe.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I remember several years ago, my wife and I were out in Branson. We went to see their show. I had a chance to chat with Mark after the show. He's a real nice guy. He's got a voice, man, big as a house.
Yeah, he's a good bass singer, no doubt about it.
You bet.
But yeah, I believe he recorded Farmer in the Lord on a solo CD, maybe. And so he may do that one, maybe, or something like that. But that's about all I can think of.
Did you ever hear any of Jimmy Jones' recitations?
I have heard a bit, yes. A bit of them, yes.
Yeah, he used to write some of the most beautiful recitations and do those. I was always a big fan of his writing and singing. He wasn't the lowest bass singer, but he had a pretty bass voice, very easy to listen to.
Yeah. I think he may have written that recitation, What Heaven Means to Me,
Yeah,
maybe.
he did. Yes.
Yeah. J.D. Sumner recorded that on his first solo album.
That's right. I had forgotten about that. And we
Yeah.
can't talk about bass singers without talking about JD. I mean, my goodness.
That's right.
I mean, the first time I remember hearing him, I think, on a recording outside of what he did with the Stamps was on an Elvis record. That remember the song Way Down that Elvis did? I think it was the
Oh,
last
yeah.
before he died, I remember that one stands out in my memory. And yeah, that was awesome. I had a chance to kind of get acquainted with JD a little bit, and he'd call me up periodically when I was working for the record company, and he'd say, "Hey, buddy, so why don't you come ride with us this weekend?" So I get on the bus with him, and I think we went up to Indiana one time, and he would get up early about 4 o'clock every morning, put that coffee pot on, and we'd sit up and we would talk. And he would, that man was such a wealth of knowledge. He would talk about some of his favorite singers and gospel music and just all kinds of things. It was an education just in gospel music, listening to him talk is incredible.
Oh,
I
yeah.
cherish those times, really do. I'm very blessed to been able to call him a friend.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. But yeah, JD's another one of my favorites. And also, another one that I have to mention is Jimmy Jones that sang with the Harmonizing Four.
Oh man, yeah.
He's another one of my favorites of all time.
Yes. Yeah, he had a nice round tone and he was low, but he was very clean sound. He had a nice edge to his voice.
Yep. And also Isaac Freeman. He's another one of my favorites.
Yeah. Yep. Fairfield Four.
Yep. Isaac Freeman, you talk about low. Isaac Freeman was low as a foghorn, buddy.
He was. I remember one time back in, I think it was the late 90s, they had an initiative here in Nashville to push the arts. And so they were doing it at like the airport, Nashville International Airport. And they would have they had the Fairfield Four come out and just sing on the concourse, where people would go in and come and catching flights, and the Fairfield Four would be standing out there singing. And I remember listening to him, and I was shocked at the volume that he could produce on his lower notes without a sound system. They just sang a cappella. They'd stroll around the airport, and
That's awesome.
he could knock the bottom out of it. You could hear him as clear as a bell.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I have a recording or two of him where he hit an F sharp below low C on it a
Yeah.
couple times.
Yeah. Do you have his solo album called Beautiful Stars?
I have listened to it on Apple Music and such, but I don't have the CD copy, but I would love to get it one day.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yes, it is. I'm sure you remember his recitation on it, The Liar.
Yeah. Yeah, boy,
Awesome. Awesome stuff.
I hadn't thought about that song in a long time, sure enough.
And also, oh, what's that song? Lord, I Want You to Help Me. I love that one too.
There was one song, I don't remember the title of it, but you're probably too young to remember this, but you might, I don't know. There was a show on the radio for years called Prairie Home Companion with
I'm not familiar with that.
the host was Garrison Keillor. And at one time it was like a radio show, kind of like the Grand Ole Opry, but they would tape it up there in Minnesota, Minneapolis. And Garrison had written this song, and Fairfield Four recorded it, featured Isaac Freeman. Can't remember the name of it, but yeah, I remember that.
That's awesome. Love it. Yep, Isaac's another one of my favorites. So.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Who'd you say is your favorite gospel group of all time?
Of all time, I mean, that's probably a Cathedral Quartet. I mean,
Yeah.
I didn't have an opportunity because I lived in the wrong part of the country to see the Statesmen during their heyday. I'd love to have seen that.
Yeah.
I'd love to have seen Big Chief, in action. And I know that Berman talked about, seeing the Chief when he was real young. I'd have given anything to be able to see that. But the group, probably the Cathedrals, because they made the biggest impact on me and put the want to in me to want to do what they were doing.
I love it. Yeah, Berman did get to see Chief live. He saw Chief live the year before he died, I do believe.
It's something, man. I love that.
Yep, for sure. What'd you say is your favorite era of gospel music?
My favorite era would probably be, the 50s and 60s, and then I like
Mine
the
too.
80s. Yeah, I like the 80s too,
Yeah.
because we were being introduced to groups that people were not familiar with, and they were achieving national recognition. I mean, it was back in probably the mid to late 80s where we'd heard of groups like the Greens and the Isaacs, and even Palmetto State. They were a regional group for many, many years, till they broke out I think he was probably in the early 90s, right after Hobie was with him. Harold Gillies started recording some of those songs like Rainbow Avenue and Jubilees Are Coming. And they were going back. Jubilees Are Coming was an old song, and Rainbow Avenue, of course, was a new song that sounded old at the time. Vern Sullivan wrote that. And Vern was a great writer, great guy, great writer, but it was in the 80s, that I joined the Fox Brothers and kind of got my feet wet in gospel music. So yeah, the 50s and 60s and the 80s would be my favorite eras of gospel music.
Yeah, those would about be mine. I would say even the 40s for me. The 40s, 50s, like the mid 60s for me is my favorite. And then
Okay.
after that would be probably some stuff in the 80s, like the Cathedrals and Masters 5 at Gold City.
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember seeing the Masters 5. They came out to Portland. I was probably 13 years old at that time, 13, 14. And yeah, they had an old tour bus, they had an Eagle, and then the marquee, it said Big Chief. Of course, at that
Yeah.
time, I really wasn't sure what that meant, but I realize now they were paying tribute to the Chief, and that was a group that combined probably had 200 years of experience in gospel music on the stage at the same time. I mean, my goodness,
You're right.
it was incredible. Incredible.
Yes, it was. But yeah, the Cathedrals of Gold City and the Masters 5, those are probably my three favorite groups from the 80s. Love them.
Absolutely, yes. I'm with you on that.
Very good. Love it. Well, here's something fun I like to do. I would like you to put together a made up quartet. So obviously this quartet you couldn't hear because they're made up. But who do you think would just be the members of just a great made up quartet that you would love to hear if you could?
Just random members of groups that are in existence today.
It doesn't have to be today. It can be singers of old or singers out there today or a mix of the two or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's an interesting question. Okay, so you remember a singer by the name of Doug Oldham?
Yes.
Okay. So I would have Doug probably singing lead
Very good.
in a group, because he's powerful, powerful voice. And then if you're going to have Doug as the lead, then you're going to have a pretty strong baritone. So I put Tony Peace in there.
There you go.
Yeah, and then to sing tenor on top of that, maybe let's see, Rosie Roselle would be a good one.
Yes, he would.
And
My
then,
favorite.
yeah, and then of course, in order to round that group out, you'd probably have to put JD singing bass, So
Man, that's a quartet and a half. I love it.
that'd be an interesting group, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. No doubt. Put a piano player with him. Who'd you have playing piano?
I would put either Jerry Wolf with them or Jeff Duffield. I don't know if you're familiar with Jeff Duffield, but in my opinion, he's one of the best piano players in Nashville. He can play any style you throw at him, and he would be awesome with a group like
That is
that.
awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. I love it. Here's another cool question that I love to ask. If you could sit at a table and chat with any gospel music personality that you never got the chance to meet, who would it be and what would the conversation be about, you think?
I want to sit down with Big Chief and Rosie Roselle probably. And I think the conversation with Rosie and Chief would be, talk about the concept of ministry and entertainment and how you can intertwine those two.
That's
Because
good.
the statesmen were ministry, but they were also entertainment. And
Big time.
I'm not against entertainment at all, especially in the Christian arena, because my philosophy is this, Nicholas. In order to present the message of the gospel to somebody, I've got to be able to hold their attention long enough to put the message in front of them I want them to receive.
Amen. That's good.
In order to do that, I may have to entertain them just a little bit. And then put
That's
that
good.
message in front of them once their guard is down. And so I think that that's probably what I would want to talk to them about, to see how they balance the two.
I love it. That's a great question, no doubt about it. Here's yet another thing that I love to do that's fun here. I would like you to list five gospel music albums, maybe, that you would have someone listen to if you were going to introduce someone to gospel music that's never heard it so they could get a good taste of it. And if you can't think of any albums, think of just five groups that you give somebody a album of.
Well, my first ones would be Something Special by the Cathedral Quartet. Back in the 80s, Gold City did a live album. You remember the name of that? It escapes me at the moment, but they were all in white suits on the cover.
They did a couple live albums in the 80s. The first one was in 82, Gold City Live, and then the next one was Double Take.
Yeah, no, Gold City Live would be one. Probably. Let me think. That's an interesting question. We got that, and then one, probably one by the Statesman. I don't know that there's a definitive album. Everything they did was so good. So, and then Swanee River Boys, the record that had "Go Down to the House of the Lord," a lot of those songs on there, and probably one by the Jordanaires.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. Love
Yeah.
it.
And you got to throw Masters Five record in there, you know? I mean, it's hard to just stop at five, you know?
Very good. Some great stuff there. Do you like any other kinds of music besides gospel? And if so, what genres?
I do. Like I said, I was raised on classic country, and so I appreciate Jim Reeves and Eddie Arnold, Merle Haggard, and those guys. I don't listen to much current country.
Right.
Like the era where you had groups like Alabama and the Oak Ridge Boys and Restless Heart and Exile, that whole era was good. The Bellamy Brothers. I like the harmonies there. I also like some jazz. I mean, I love to listen to Tony
Yes, sir.
Bennett. Sinatra's phrasing is just impeccable. It's a lot of the crooners, because the crooners, they knew how to communicate a lyric. And you to even take some of the jazz singers that are they're still out there today, like Diana Krall, some of those type vocalists. They know how to communicate. They know how to emote. And that's what you have to be able to do in gospel music, to be able to communicate the lyric well to your audience, you know.
I love it for sure. Those are two of my favorite genres besides gospel as well. Besides gospel, I love some old country stuff like Merle Haggard. Merle Haggard is probably my favorite, and so I love that stuff. Some of it, and I also love the old crooners like Bing Crosby and Johnny Hartman. Those are probably my two favorites.
Absolutely. And then, of course, in the classic country genre, back up in the 80s, I loved Ed Bruce. I don't know if you remember him or not, but
I do.
he was the one. Ed did a gospel album in his later years, and that's where I heard the song Tougher Than Nails.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I love the old crooner stuff, and I love some old country, and also I love some old Western music, like Sons of the Pioneers and Marty Robbins Western stuff and all that stuff.
Man, if you listen to Sons of the Pioneers, Riders in the Sky, and some of those Sons of the San Joaquin, Riders of the Purple Sage, basically all that is, it's jazz chords mixed with a little bit of country and Western. And it's
Well, that's
phenomenal.
awesome.
That stuff's hard to sing. I mean, they make it look easy, but it's kind of hard to, it's tough. It's not for the faint of heart, that's for sure.
Well, that's great stuff. But yeah, so I love that as well. And I love some old barbershop quartet music like Thurl Ravenscroft and the Mellow Men. Love that.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yeah. Thurl, he had a big voice too. And the Mellow Men, and let's see. Do you remember a group called the Acoustics?
I don't really think I do.
Yeah, they won the world championship back in the 90s. As a matter of fact, this was crazy. Right after I joined the King's Heralds, the barbershop music society moved their headquarters to Nashville. And we got acquainted with one of the guys that worked in the office there. He was a former member of the Acoustics, so he was a world champion, and he loved what we did. He invited us to come and be a special guest at the Barbershoppers Convention, and they had a
Wow.
whole church service and asked us to come and do some of our gospel music, and we did. And that was an experience because we got to sing with the 1990 world champions or something, and those guys sang before we did. And I told our guys, I said, we just will go home. I said, these guys are way good. And then we got to sing at a convention in Tampa, Florida, with we were their special guests, and we sang with a group called Rural Route 4, and those guys were awesome. They came out there in overalls and sang those old country songs in barbershop style, and it was incredible. It was incredible. I have a very deep respect for the barbershoppers. Some of their arrangements are not easy.
No, they're not. Awesome stuff, for sure. So yeah, that's kind of my musical taste. I'm only 24 years old, but I am an old soul. Most of the music, except for some gospel music. I love some gospel music out there today, but for the most part, my musical taste is the old stuff. I just love it.
You have that recording by, it's an old recording by the Hensons. It's a double album, I think, called Out of the West They Came. It's a live album.
I don't have the album, but I know what you're talking about.
I would probably have to put that album in with the ones we were talking about earlier. Somebody
Yep.
didn't know anything about gospel music. They need to be familiar with the Hensons.
Yep.
Incredible group.
Oh yeah. Great stuff. Brother, I have two more things for you, all right?
All right, shoot.
The first one's called the Fast Five. What this is just five simple questions that you can just answer just a simple answer to.
Okay.
What is your favorite food?
French fries.
Well, very good. Put some jalapeno ranch on them things, and they're great.
That's funny.
Yep. I do. I put Whataburger jalapeno ranch on my fries, and I love it.
French fries are just a vehicle for ketchup for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Oh, very good. How about your favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
There you go. Favorite flavor? Let me ask you that.
Pralines and cream.
Okay, very good. How about your favorite TV show?
My favorite TV show probably have to be, I mean, everybody says Andy Griffith, but that show's timeless.
Yep, that's mine. Man, the more you and I talk, I kind of think you and I have a lot in common.
I probably do. We could probably
Yeah.
talk for hours.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Love it. How about your favorite vacation spot?
It depends. Some years it's the mountain, some years it's the beach. Just depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Yep. I love it. Yeah, I'm a mountains guy.
Are
So,
you? Okay.
yeah. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is probably my favorite place in the whole wide world.
I like Pigeon Forge, but it
That
is just
area.
so crowded. My wife and I, we went there here not long ago, and I told her, I said, people come to the mountains to get away from the crowds. I said, there's more people here than there is at home.
Yeah.
But it is nice. I like Pigeon Forge. And have you seen any of the shows out there?
It's been a long time, but I've been to Dollywood before and everything. And
Okay.
I go to National Quartet Convention every year.
You go. When did you start going to Quartet Convention?
I started going to Quartet Convention the first year that it was in Pigeon Forge, 2014.
Okay. Man, has it been that long? So they've been
Yeah.
out there quite a while. So you never did come when it was in Louisville, then, did you? Or
I
Nashville?
didn't. Never did. Nope.
NQC fun. It's been a few years since I've been, but I thoroughly enjoyed it every time I get to go.
Yes, sir. I love it. Yeah, it's my favorite week of the year. It really is.
It's like a big homecoming. You get to see people That week you don't get to see any other time of the year, you know.
For sure. Well, last but not least on this question, what is your favorite Bible verse and tell me why it's your favorite?
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Give you a future and a hope. You
That's
know,
great stuff.
I don't think that we really realize. We take for granted a lot of times the goodness and the grace of God. And when we're having to go through a tough time or a tough season, we wonder, you know, God, are you still there? But you know what? God is for us. He's not against us. He is for us. And he's working all things out for our good and his glory. And the only thing that he asks us to do is to trust him, even when it's not evident to us that he's working on our behalf behind the scenes. Just trust him. And I
That's
think
great stuff.
that's the hardest thing for me sometimes, because I'm a hands-on kind of guy. If I see something I need to do and I just want to fix it.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's things that only God can fix. And anytime I try to help God, I always make it worse. So I just pray to God to give me the wisdom to know when to speak, when to be quiet, and when to step up, and when to sit down, you know.
I love it, man. Great stuff. My last question for you is this. If you were leaving Earth tomorrow, what do you think would be the last song that you would sing for the world? Whole entire world could hear you.
The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
That's a great song.
Yep.
Love that one. No doubt. And brother, I have thoroughly enjoyed doing this with you, man, and I appreciate you doing it. It's been
Well,
fun.
thank you so much for asking me to do it. Like I told you before, you make an old fellow feel good. I mean, it's been 20 some years since I've been in the Southern gospel world, and just the fact that somebody remembered just makes me feel good. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir, brother. No doubt about it. Man, you have a good day. All right. Love you, buddy.
All right, love you too, pal. Let's do it again soon.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You
Bye-bye.
betcha. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast. We hope you enjoyed it, and please be sure to share it with everyone you know. Tune in 2 weeks from today for another episode of the Southern Gospel Conversations podcast.